Okay? Hear ye the word of the Lord. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was received up, after that he had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has set within his own authority, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were looking steadfastly to heaven as he went, behold, two men in white apparel stood near them, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This same Jesus, who is received up in your heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. The ministry of Jesus on earth did not end when he disappeared in the rarefied air of the ascension. It continued on in the lives of the apostles, then after them, it continues on even until this day with us as we labor in the kingdom. And it will not end until that day when the promise of the angels have been fulfilled and the trumpet sounds and the Lord appears in heaven with power and great glory. But looking back on it, we notice that Jesus ascended to heaven on Thursday. The apostles went to the upper room, less than a mile away, 7/8 of a mile to be exact, and began to pray. The next day was Friday. They really didn't expect anything to happen, because he said, not many days hence. So they prayed on. The next day was Saturday. And they thought, well, this could be the day, because this is the Sabbath day. Nothing happened. They prayed on. The next day was Sunday, and they were sure this would be the day, because they knew Jesus had this penchant for doing things on Sunday. He made some of his appearances on Sunday. Perhaps this would be the day. Nothing happened. They prayed on. Monday came. Nothing happened. They prayed on. Tuesday came. Nothing happened. They prayed on. Wednesday came, and they were sure this would be the day, because they had this premonition that in the future, the churches of Christ and or Christian churches would have their prayer meeting service on Wednesday night. And surely he would come during the hour of power. nothing happened, then it's a good thing it didn't, because if it had, only two or three of them would have showed up. Thursday came, and they thought, this will be the day because this is the anniversary. Nothing happened, they prayed on. Friday came, nothing happened. The next Sabbath came, nothing happened. And finally, on the second Sunday, it happened. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power had arrived, and the church began. After a 10-day open-end prayer meeting, what a power prayer that was. But there were other power prayers in the book of Acts. Prayer is mentioned 29 times in the book of Acts. More times than any other book in the Bible, except Psalms, 35 times in Psalms. But Psalms is twice as long, page-wise, as Acts. So Acts is the heavyweight champion in prayer. So let us consider some of these power prayers of the book of Acts. After the day of Pentecost, I don't know how long it was. It wasn't too long. Peter and John were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, asking for alms. And when he saw Peter and John, he looked upon them and said, expecting alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk! And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took knowledge of him. It was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement that which had happened unto him. Now, if that had happened today, the following scenario would have taken place. A man who was healed would have said, oh, Mr. Peter, Mr. John, you know I'm 40 years old. I never have walked a step in my life. I'm so glad that you, by the power of the Lord Jesus, have given me the power to walk. Now, I know you're going into the temple to pray. I'd like to go in with you. But Mr. Peter and Mr. John, this is the first day I've ever walked, and I understand today down at the stadium, the Bethlehem Bulls are playing the Jerusalem jellyfish. And I've always wanted to see the bulls and the jellyfish mixed up. So if you don't mind, I'll go see the game today. And Peter would have said, well, I understand that. There's nothing any more important than the bulls and the jellyfish playing that game. But I tell you, next Sunday, we're having a big crusade over here in the temple on Solomon's porch. There will be 3,000 people there. Brother John here will lead the singing. Mary Magdalene is going to sing a special number. And I am going to preach. Perhaps you could come to this service. And the lame man would have said, Mr. Peter, Mr. John, I'd like to do that. He said, I'd like to see Brother John lead the singing. He reminds me of Art Bush. And he said, I'd like to hear Mary Magdalene sing that special number. And if she does, I hope she sings, I Come to the Garden Alone. And Peter, I'd love to hear you preach. I'd like to hear you preach, Peter. When you preach, you remind me of Wayne Smith. Now, Peter, you're not as funny as Wayne, but you're doing the best you can, man. So I won't be able to be there because on that Sunday is a Super Bowl. And on that day, the Mesopotamian mosquitoes are going to be playing the Capernaum Chiggers, and I'm just itching to see that game. If they had been like us, Peter and John would have gone into the temple and nobody would have paid any attention to them. But because this one man went in and stood with the preaching of the apostles, well, I don't know what the score was that day between the bulls and the jellyfish, but I know that day when this man went in and played ball with God, a mighty great score was given for God. In fact, it was a blowout. The number of the disciples came to be about 5,000 men. 5,000. What a power prayer that was. We need to stand today with the preaching of the apostles. It pays. Let me tell you how that works. I went to a area-wide meeting somewhere in Indiana. And in the afternoon, and they were out in the yard drinking tea and pop and hot dogs, eating hot pop dogs, one thing or another. And there was a man there that had driven 50 miles to be there. And when he saw me, he said, man, I got to see you. I came over here just to talk to you. I've got to tell you something that happened. He said, a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I was driving down the road. And he said, a policeman pulled me over. And he said, the policeman said, sir, do you have any idea how fast you were going? And he said, "No, officer, I didn't know I was speeding. I don't know." He said, "You were driving 85 miles an hour." And he said, "I told the officer, I said, I don't know how that could be. I didn't even know my car could go that fast." He said, "All I was doing was sitting here driving, listening to Ed Bosman on the radio. Indianapolis, WIBC. And he said, the officer said, "Well, I was listening to him too. Go ahead and drive carefully. It pays to stand with the preaching of the word." What a power prayer that was. Then here's another one. Peter and John got in trouble because of that. And they got put in jail. It was late in the afternoon because the hour of prayer was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So by the time they had the message and everything, they were arrested and put in jail overnight. And on the morrow, the chief priest, the elders, and the scribes were gathered together, and all the kindred of the high priest. And when they set them in the midst, they said, "By what power or in what name have ye done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed done to an impotent man, by which means this man is made whole, be it known to you and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth hath this man been made whole. You have crucified him, and God has raised him from the dead, and in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Have you ever heard of anything any more gutsy, any more bold than that? Peter and John standing in a court being tried by the very people who crucified Jesus, and they told the court, "We have done this by the power of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and God raised him from the dead. And not only that, but in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby one must be saved." Not only did they say that you crucified him, he rose from the dead, but they said, "If you want to go to heaven, there's no other way to go but by Jesus, and if you don't, you're going to hell." I mean, talk about boldness. You know, that's the thing that I miss today in the churches of Christ and Christian churches, is the boldness in the preaching. It seems to me the idea is never say anything unless everybody agrees with it. Don't preach any doctrine unless you're sure everybody agrees with it. We need people who will be bold enough today. And boldness comes with a price tag. When the apostles were told they were bold and then dismissed, they went to the church service. They got the people together. When they came to their own, they reported all the chief priests, the elders, and said to them. And the church prayed this prayer. They prayed this prayer for themselves, and they prayed it for us also today. Listen to what they said in their prayer. They said, O Lord, thou that didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all that in them is, thou who by the power of the Holy Spirit, these men have done what was prophesied, ordained of God. Now, Lord, grant unto thy servants that we may speak thy word with boldness, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They were accused of being bold, and the church did not tell Peter and John to cool it. They prayed for even more boldness. And the boldness came with a price tag. In the next chapter, every one of the apostles, all 12 of them, were beaten. The next chapter after that, Stephen was tried for his life. The next chapter after that, Stephen was stoned. The next chapter after that, they were all scattered abroad, the whole church. Next chapter after that, Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women committed them to prison. Boldness has a price tag. Then he told me when he called me several months ago, he said, come down and encourage the people. Well, I'm trying to encourage you to be bold. But don't carry it too far. 50 years ago, I did something bold, which I probably shouldn't have done. I'd only been preaching 13 years at the time, so I didn't have too much experience. I lived in a little town, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the main street is a mile long. Back in those days, before the malls were invented, we had a lively town. We had 4 or 5 grocery stores on Main Street, 2 or 3 banking places, and hardware stores, furniture stores, movie houses. It was a live little town. And on Saturday afternoon, all the farmers came to town to do what they call their trading. Shopping, we call it now. And there were so many people on the street on Saturday, you had to elbow your way through the crowd. So on a Saturday afternoon, on a nice sunny day, I got a rubber mask of the devil and put that on, and a red suit. I got in my red car, loudspeaker, turned it up. One of the elders said lately he heard me 6 miles away. Drove around the back street to come uptown, the way on the other side of town, and began to cruise down Main Street. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is the devil speaking. I want to inform you that there is no hell. Tomorrow morning will be a nice day to sleep in. There's no need to get up and go to the Church of Christ. Bousman is crazy anyway. I got down to the end of town and turned around and then came back and cruised back through it again. Got back again and cruised back through it again. Got down again, and I don't know how many times I cruised up and down, maybe a half an hour or so. And went home. And that night, about 11 o'clock, I thought I'd go out for a little walk. The streets were empty, deserted Main Street. And a police cruiser pulled up. And the policeman said, "I want to talk to you." Now, this policeman was not to be messed around with. I mean, you couldn't get flippant with him, because one time he stopped somebody and said, "Get out of the car." And the fellow said, "If you want me else, you'll have to shoot me." And this policeman, pulled his gun out, stuck it up beside his head, and he said, "That can be arranged." That fella got out real slow and fast at the same time. So this is the policeman that tells me, "I want to talk to you." Well, anytime he wants to talk to me, he can talk to me. He said, "I wasn't in this section of town this afternoon when you were doing that." And he said, "If I had been, I'd have locked you up." And I said, "Well, why would you lock me up?" I said, what was wrong? Was there anything wrong with that costume?" He said, "Well, no, that's all right." I said, "Was there anything wrong with the loudspeaker?" He said, "No, that's all right." I said, "Well, what was the matter?" He said, "Well, you were telling the people in town they were all going to hell." And I said, "I didn't tell them that. I said there was no hell." But he didn't believe me. And I said, "Well, suppose I did say they were going to hell. How could you lock me up?" And he said, "You can say anything you want to, and you can dress any way you want to. I don't care." But he said, "When you tell people in this town that they're going to hell, I can lock you up for disturbing the peace." I said, "Well, I guess you're right. Every time I think about hell, it disturbs my peace." And all the while he was talking, he didn't put me in jail, but all the while he was talking, I thought, "Boy, this is wonderful. If he locks me up, I've got a pair of white pajamas with black stripes vertical all the way down. I'm going to put those pajamas on and put a numbers across my chest and take a picture and put it in the paper and announce, 'Attend our services Sunday and hear Jailbird Bousman.'" Well, one fellow in church said, "If they had locked you up, it would have ruined the whole town." Well, I want you to be bold, but don't go quite that far. Some people might not want to be bold because there's a price you have to pay. And for them, it could be said, "Preach a sermon, preacher. Make it short and sweet. Our stomachs are a-hungering at 11 o'clock to eat. Preach a sermon, preacher. Make it round or flat. We love to play at hide-and-seek and guess just where you're at. Preacher, sermon, preacher, fill it with some jokes. Tell us a few anecdotes. Entertain us, folks. Preach a sermon, preacher. Don't get too specific. As long as you will generalize, I think you are terrific. Preach a sermon, preacher. Tell us what we'd like to hear. And we will pat your spineless back while you scratch our itching ear." What a power prayer that was. Now here's another one. Things were going along pretty good in the church there at Jerusalem. "It came to pass in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude unto them and said, "It is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Look ye out, therefore, from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this matter." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, and when they laid their hands on them, they prayed. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. Now, here's what happened. You see, they had this social program. The city didn't have it at that time. The Red Cross and those sort of things. And the church took care of its own. They had what we might call today a program called Meals on Wheels. They would take the dinners around and feed the ladies who were destitute and couldn't afford to take care of themselves. And in the process, some of them were being neglected. And they began to murmur against the apostles. The church in Jerusalem was the only church that ever had 12 apostles on the staff, and they murmured at them. So you preachers can't expect to get off any better than that. So they got them together and they said, "We don't have time to do this job, but we have the answer." And so they picked out 7 men to do it for them. They said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." It may surprise some people today to know that the church began on the day of Pentecost not with a counseling session. It began by preaching of the apostles. They preached the word, and Paul would later on say, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's why they said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the preaching of the word." When I graduated from Bible college, there were 25 young men in the class. If I remember correctly, 24, maybe 25 of us, but 24 at least, became preachers of the word. Where is there a Bible college today that can boast a record like that? Almost 100% going out to preach. Not a single one became a counselor. Not a single one became a psychologist. Not even a single one then became even a youth minister. You say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Well, there's nothing wrong with it. We need counselors. We need psychologists. We need youth ministers. Nothing wrong with it, but what I'm wondering is, whatever happened to all the preachers we used to put out? It seems today we're trying to win the world to Christ by using the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of God. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I went one time to Louisville Bible College years ago, and Dr. Marbley gave me a nice introduction to preach. But he said, "Before he preaches, I want to call on somebody back in the back to pray." And that fellow got up and prayed. He had a foghorn voice. He could be heard by everybody without any help. And this is the prayer he prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, we thank you tonight that we have been able to come here and listen to what this fool has to say. I thought that was the biggest compliment I ever had. Paul said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them by belief. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake. I saw a statement the other day. I have to quote it. It was not a Church of Christ preacher, but it was a wonderful statement. Warren Wiersbe. I'm sure some of you have heard of him. Anyway, Warren Wiersbe, I saw this advertisement. The books club was passing out for books, and he had a bunch of books he was selling written by the old preachers of the 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, early 20th century. And I'd said the same thing myself, but he said it better, so that's why I quote him. Because if I said it, people think I'm silly and I'm prejudiced, but he's a Baptist. I don't know what all he doesn't believe like we believe, that's for sure. But he said this, and what a wonderful statement. He said, today we have a lot of clever preachers preaching the times. Then he said, we need to go back and read the old masters, because they didn't preach the times. They preached the eternities. I don't know what he meant by that, but I know what it means for me. The eternities would be, our people need to hear messages on repentance, salvation, baptism, salvation. We need to hear messages on the cross. We need to hear messages about the judgment day. We need to hear about hellfire. We need to hear about the inspiration of the scriptures. But they tell me preachers are preaching the times, the contemporary times. I'm not concerned about the contemporary music. I'm concerned about the contemporary preaching that's being done today in many places. You see, every generation is contemporary. It used to be that it was contemporary if you wanted to write a letter to use a turkey feather as a quill. Today, the contemporary means is on a keyboard of a computer. It used to be that the contemporary way to travel would be by a horse or a carriage. But today, the contemporary way is by automobile and by jet plane or even space travel. Every generation is contemporary for them. But the time will come when every generation will come face to face with the eternities, the judgment day, heaven or hell. That's why we need to preach the eternities. Because today, if they preach messages on the times and call it contemporary, without the eternities, that's not contemporary preaching. It may be contemptible, but it's not contemporary. I have to tell you this. It was a long time ago when I first started preaching, a man had a dream. And in this dream, he dreamed he went to hell. And he told me they stood him up on the edge of it and were ready to push him in. And he awakened himself in the night by saying, oh, now! I wish I had listened to Mr. Mousman. Well, later on, when I got on the radio, one day I told that incident as an illustration for something or other. And there was a talk show host in Cincinnati, WLW, Gary Burbank. And he was a Baptist, but he said I was his favorite preacher. You can figure that out. I don't know. And whenever I was sending my tapes in, which I used then, he would take the tapes first and play them and take sound bites out of them, just little statements without any other context, just use them. And I heard several of them, but one of them in particular was that story. He said, "Oh, now, I wish I had listened to Mr. Mousman." I heard that one time coming up 32 near Batavia, Ohio, near the Ford plant. The news was on. He said the front was moving in and the back was moving out or whatever it was. And then that voice, "Oh, now, I wish I had listened to Mr. Mousman." I'm not lying. This is a fact. I heard it one time on the news. I don't know what the news was. Maybe somebody got killed. They're always getting killed in Cincinnati. And so the news, some bad news, and that voice said, "Oh, now, I wish I had listened to Mr. Mousman." But one day he capped the climax. I was driving through Indiana one night late, that time coming home, and at that time WLW had religious programming from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock night time. I was on at 11:30, the last one, 11:30 to 12. They've kicked us all off now because they want somebody hollering on their sports or something. But anyway, I was driving through Indiana, and about 11:15, I thought, I'll just turn the radio on and get ready to hear my program at 11:30. And the hour of decision was on. I listened. I got down to the end, and Cliff Barrows made this announcement. He said, "This is Cliff Barrows speaking for Mr. Graham and the entire team. Oh, now, I wish I had listened to Mr. Mousman." I would have paid $100 for that and got it for nothing. The day will come when a lot of people will wish they had listened to somebody, if indeed anybody is left who will tell them what the Word of God says. When Denny called me about being here, he said, "Encourage the people." I didn't tell him, but I thought maybe I should preach on hell and encourage you not to go there. Well, that's not what I did, but I think you got the message anyway.